All right. I want to welcome everybody to episode 74. Title of this episode is The Words You Use, Tearing the Church Down One Word at a Time. So with that, speaking of words, here's my t-shirt for the day. I do a thing called what I want. And a lot of you guys can probably relate to that. So what are we talking about today? So we're going to talk scripture, of course, but I want to talk about it. I'm even going to get a little science-y with you too. Now, I'm not a science guy. I wasn't a great science student, but there are things that fascinate me about how God created things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with looking outside of scripture only to see how the systems work. Because, you know, everybody's like, well, religion isn't science. Well, you know, God created science, so give me a break. Okay, so science is around only because God allowed it to be. You know, I've often asked the question, and when I'm preaching or when I'm teaching a class, I'll ask the question, how many of you believe in time travel? And you guys have heard me ask this before, but maybe this is your first episode. And very few people, if any, will raise their hand. How many believe in time travel? Well, hardly anybody. So then I will ask, okay, if God was sitting in the room right now, and I asked God to come up to the board and write out the mathematical equation for time travel, how many of you think he would just get right up and do it without even thinking about it? And the whole room will raise their hand. So really the problem isn't that you don't believe in time travel. Because if you believe that God could get up and put the mathematical equation for time travel on a board without hesitation, even if there's some symbols and whatnot in there that we don't recognize because they haven't been discovered yet, that doesn't mean you don't believe in it. It simply means there's a gap in your thinking. All right. And what we're talking about today is the words you use and how they create that gap. All right. Now, when I was growing up, my dad was not a nice guy. I have very few fond memories. Actually, I could count on one hand how many good memories I have of my dad. My dad spent most of his time asking me if I wanted to go to reform school. Now, I wasn't a bad kid. I hated school, you know, because it got in the way of my friend time, basically. So, but he would ask me constantly because of my grades. Do you want to go to reform school? Are you stupid? I got that all the time. Are you stupid? And so when I left the house, I thought I was the stupidest person on the planet. He told me he only expected C's out of me, and D's and C's is what he got. I thought that that expecting A's out of your kids from these other kids whose parents were like, oh, we expect A's. I thought that was crazy talk. Expect A's? What? Because I was having to perform at such a low level, and I already believed that I could only perform at a low level, you know. I figured that McDonald's was about as good as it was ever going to get for me. So when I left the house, the words that had been spoken to me did not build a lasting relationship between my dad and I. They did not build a confidence level in his son. They did not help me build a life worth living at that point. And I'm not saying that I was going to commit suicide. I'm talking about worth living, a life worthy that God expected me to live, because I thought I was too stupid. I thought I didn't deserve all that. So that's how I operated. And it was a long, long time. And to this day, I still struggle with it. Okay. Words. The words he used were not optimal, to say the least. And the words he used then became the words I used. So you dads who think that, you know, do as I say, not as I do. Yeah. That's going to come back to bite you. We must be the men that we expect our sons to be, or they will never be that, because our children are not who we want them to be. They're who we are. All right. In Proverbs chapter 15, in verses 1 and 2, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. So, I mean, come on. Proverbs, if you look through, now that's just one verse in Proverbs. Proverbs speaks repeatedly about the use of words and what comes out of your mouth and how powerful that is. So as we come into the words you use, you might be saying to yourself, oh, Mike, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I try to watch my words, but I am prone to sin. I am prone to bull crap. I'm going to call bull crap right there. You guys have heard me preach against the sinner forgiven model. It is not a scriptural model. So I'm not going to harp on it here, but let me tell you something, that if you can control your words for a minute, then you can control them for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, for an hour. You can, if you can watch what you say around your mother-in-law, you can watch what you say around everybody else. All right. So don't make excuses about the words you use. The words you use don't have to define you, but they will if you continue to use them. All right. Remember, Proverbs. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Which are you, wise or foolish? Now let's talk about words for a minute. This is something that has been near and dear to my heart for a while. I have to really understand something before I will make a transition, before I will wholeheartedly jump on a train and say, yep, that's the direction we need to go. And I will look at it from the skeptic view. All right. And there's nothing wrong with being skeptical about things. There's nothing wrong with investigating, with making it your own, with understanding it before you're going to do it, because that's who God designed us to be, right? Come, let us reason together means we need to discuss it. We need to look at it. We need to observe it. We need to test it. We need to bounce it off each other. So the words we use. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the words we use with other people. Now, those count, yes. But the words we use to other people are because of the words we use with ourselves. Now, I said in the last couple podcasts that we have no right to live a small life when God gave and sacrificed and died for your very soul. Let that sink in. No right to live a small life. So if we're living small lives, it's because of the words we use. The words we use speak that which fills the heart, and we're going to cover that in a minute. And that which fills the heart is exactly how we're going to operate day to day. If you don't believe you're a Titan, you will never act like a Titan. And I got news for you. Every man in Christ has a Titan within him waiting to come out. The book I'm writing is going to be based on that, finding that Titan. He's in there. We, by our words, are keeping him at bay, keeping him jailed, because he scares us. Because there's work involved. There's commitment involved. That means less time at the lake. That means less time on the fishing rod. That means less time behind the hunting scope. Not that those things aren't important, but it means reprioritizing. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out of his evil what is, or I'm sorry. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. So, child of God, if indeed the Spirit dwells in you, and that's a whole other scripture that we're not going to go into today. If you're going to claim to have the Spirit of Christ in you, if you're going to claim to be Christian, the words you use matter. For by your words you're justified, or by your words you're condemned. How are you speaking to the new creation within yourself? You are a new creation, if indeed you're in Christ. How are you speaking to that new creation? Are you speaking in terminology that the old man uses, the old man, the one that died? Is that guy still talking to the new creation? Is that attitude still in the new creation? Are you actively seeking to change your words? Here's a little exercise I want you to do. This is one I did this week. If you're watching the video, I'm holding a Sharpie, a black Sharpie in my hand. And I'm holding up my hand. This, as a service plumber, this is my memo pad. Now, why do I write things on my hand? Well, because I never set this pad down, okay? So if I set, if I lose this notepad, the palm of my hand, I have bigger issues. So anyway, what I want you to do is I want you to go and I want you to make every time you use a negative word or a negative term, I want you to mark it on your hand. Just one little mark right there. That's it. One little term. One little word. Now, you don't get to sit there and say, well, it wasn't that bad. If it was a negative term, if it was not for a positive meaning, if it was not for a positive outcome, it was a negative term, jot it down. Try to remember that. Do it for 24 hours. 24 hours and see how many hash marks you got on that hand. The more you do it, the more aware you'll be. And then begin to change that. Get on, I mean, come on. Scripture has a ton of tools for changing it, all right? I mean, every careless word, you're going to give an account. So really, is it about your words or your heart? Well, both. Because you're justified by your heart, or you're not justified by your heart alone, but by the words that spill forth from it, all right? And so Scripture doesn't give... It doesn't give the indication that it's only at certain times either. It's all the time. So like I said, there are tools within Scripture, tools that you can use to change your words. But if you're struggling with the tools that Scripture gives you, I got news for you. Yeah, the world has a lot of idiotic stuff, but there is a lot of really good tools out there to help change your mindset, to help change your state, to help change your words, to help change your mindfulness. I mean, all of that stuff. I want you to think about something, all right? When you're looking at New Age stuff, a lot of guys won't even touch New Age stuff, and I understand why. I get it. But remember, there is a sliver of truth that has been manipulated to come up with that New Age thinking. My point would be, find that sliver of truth. At some point, I'm going to redefine the law of attraction, because the law of attraction can be proven by Scripture. In fact, I did one of my first podcasts was on the law of attraction. But the law of attraction is a piece. It's a small piece of a tremendously bigger law. A law that belongs to us as God's elect. A law that is at our bidding, at our use at any time. It can be done. Do you know why you think what you think? Some of you may be homeschooled. Some of you, the majority of you, I'm betting, are public schooled. If you ever read a book, I want you to read Dumbing Us Down by John Taylor Gatto. In fact, I'll put a link to it in the show notes, an Amazon link. The Amazon links I put on my show notes are not affiliate links. They're just links to the book, okay? Dumbing Us Down by John Taylor Gatto. The public school system was instituted to create factory workers. And Gatto's book is not the only one that points this out, okay? It was put out there to put forth people who could work in a factory-type setting, manufacturing setting, who could take orders, who could live small lives. I want you to think about that. Am I knocking you? Look, I'm a service plumber. But I got news for you. I got a side hustle I'm working on that I'm currently, quite honestly, losing money on, but my wife and I believe in it. We believe in it to the point that we're going all in. Why? Because I think tremendous things can be done. I absolutely believe that we can make tremendous differences, tremendous strides in people's lives by continuing on the path that we're on, even though currently we're bleeding money. Public school would tell you that's irresponsible. And a lot of people would tell you that, scripturally speaking, is irresponsible. Let me tell you something about responsibility and irresponsibility. It is totally defined by the individual. Yes, I have a tremendous debt load right now. None of my debt load right now is for four-wheelers, 4x4 trucks, fishing poles. I don't care. Gators, razors, I don't care. There are no toys involved in that debt load. It is all business debt. Why? Because we believe in something bigger than ourselves that we insist on moving towards. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but quite honestly, the Lord has made it very abundantly clear to us on a few occasions that we are going in the right direction. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you God talked to me. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we see the signs, we get the clues. There have been plenty of those moments where I just shake, where I nod my head and say, okay, God, I know it. I understand. You got it. I get it. We don't know what the outcome's going to look like, but we know what outcome we're praying for. So I'm not going to sit here and say I've been irresponsible with my finances when I'm trying to change the world. Because we chose to stop living small, to stop thinking small. People who live small think small. We are Christian men. We are obligated to think bigger. Obligated. Those words that we use, they make tremendous difference in our attitude about our tomorrow. Now, let me get science-y with you a little bit. For me, this is kind of the fun part because I don't go this way too much because a lot of people kind of, they raise an eyebrow. What was that, Mike? Okay, there was a Dr. Masaru Emoto, Japanese, and he did a water experiment. And some of you might have heard of it. What he did was he took water and he took photographs. He had special equipment. He took photographs of the frozen crystalline crystals in the water, and they look like snowflakes when they're like that, right? But what he did was he spoke positive words and then he spoke negative words. Now there are there's a link to an article on it that actually lines some of those pictures out that he took too. You can go read that article, see for yourself and see what I mean. But the point is when he spoke positive words, the crystalline look of the water was like a perfect snowflake. They were very symmetrical. They were beautiful. Okay. And the look of the crystalline on negative words was just chaos. I mean, it almost didn't even look like anything. All right. So the point is that words matter. Words have frequency. Words have a vibration. And although you might be thinking right now, oh, you're cracked. All right. Well, you're saying that because you don't have enough information. All right. When you've actually gone out there and done the research and taken a look, then you can come tell me I'm wrong. And I'm perfectly happy for people to tell me I'm wrong. I'm not arrogant. I don't have a problem making a mistake, but I firmly believe that you have to be convicted about the things you think until enough information comes to tell you otherwise. I have researched this stuff. I have looked at it for years. I've been reading on it, and I'm bringing it to you today that if this is true of water, well, I mean, the human body's 2/3 water, is it not? If this is true of water, then what are we doing to ourselves and to those around us in the negative or neutral statements that we make? And when I say neutral, what I mean is maybe your comment wasn't negative, but it most certainly wasn't positive either. Because there's either light or dark, right? You can play the in-between game all you want to, but when it comes right down to it, the words we use need to push one way or the other. What's he say about people who sit on the fence? For I spew you out of my mouth. So anyway, Emoto does this experiment. He shows all of this, turns the scientific world upside down, all right? They're all arguing about it. There was another experiment and study done by another guy whose name I can't pronounce, but I do have two articles about him on the Patreon site on the show notes. And his suggestion based on the experiments he did was that water has memory. Now I'm just going to let you, so if water can show negative and positive energy, and I don't mean that in the weird new age sense. I mean actual energy. If it's affected by the frequency and vibration of the words we use to that extent, and it has memory, think about how much damage you could potentially be doing with just your words. With just your words. So what are the words you use currently? What words do you use for your kids? What words do you use for your wife, for your family, for your brothers in Christ, for your coworkers? Do your words build up or do your words tear down? Are you indeed tearing the church down one word at a time? Are you indeed thinking you're part of the solution and really part of the problem? Are you indeed tearing down the very new creation itself by not changing your mindset? Prayer is awesome and is absolutely positive, so long as you're praying about the right things. Being an example to your kids, absolutely awesome. But if we can't fix what's in here with the words we use, we will not fix out there with those words, because our words will have no meaning. Our words will end in neutral vibration. Our words must be forward momentum words. Now, hopefully this isn't too over your head. My point here in the whole roundabout is we cannot take our words lightly. Paul talked about how they took every thought captive. Why? Because he understood the value and importance and weight of the words he used. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Let me tell you, there are tools. If you need tools, go to my Patreon page, patreon.com/thesedatedman. The show notes will be on there for today, and the show notes are on there for every podcast I've done before. There are gratitude tools on there. There are self-improvement tools on there. There are a tremendous amount of tools. Don't tell me you don't have time. I'll do a podcast on time sometime. You're not making time. Make the time. Your Lord deserves it. Your family deserves it. And you deserve it. For those of you who are uncomfortable using the word deserve, knock it off. You have overcome tremendous obstacles. Own it. Be that guy. Be that guy. Make the change. So if you are watching us on YouTube, here's my YouTube wave, or Facebook, and you want to listen to the podcast, you can find us on anchor.fm, iTunes, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Radio Public, Castbox, Breaker, and Spotify, and it's kind of fun to say all those. If you want to contact us or see our feeds, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. You can also reach me directly at mike@thesedatedman.com. That's mike@thesedatedman.com. Once again, our show notes are on patreon.com/thesedatedman. I'm telling you right now, don't roll your eyes. Don't get irritated. Find the tools. Make the changes. Change the world. Go forth and conquer.